Welcome to And With Your Spirit, a homily podcast that takes preaching out of the sanctuary and moves it into your daily life. Let us make ourselves open to the voice of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we might be transformed.
Good morning. How are you this morning? Good, good, great. Okay is okay too, right? I'm Father Tyler Tenbarge, as Father Paul said. I'm the vocation director for our diocese. I came up yesterday up here from Evansville, where I live on the west side of town. And this morning, or actually last night before we went to bed, Father Paul said, well, I guess I'll get up at 5 a.m. tomorrow and get over to the church to unlock things by 6. He said, you can come over then too if you'd like. And I said, that's 4 o'clock my time. I'll see you at 6:55, right, before the 7 a.m. Mass. Luckily, I got over here before that, but it's good to be here this morning. I also want to apologize. There's no bulletins this weekend. I think they got snowed in or something, because now all of you actually have to listen to what I say during the homily instead of having something nice to read. So I apologize for that in advance. This weekend, I've come up here to do a little vocations weekend and promotion at Our Lady of Hope Catholic Parish. Why am I here? Well, I'm here to tell you about what we do as a diocese for vocations, what our numbers look like, and then how maybe you can help us in that area. So first, what do we do overall as a diocese? Well, my main job is to walk with our seminarians from discernment through formation to priesthood, if that's what God is willing for them. And so, for example, Tyler Underhill, one of your parish sons, is currently in his 6th year in seminary. He went to Indianapolis for Bishop Routet's college seminary program, and now he's over in Rome studying at the Pontifical North American College. I just spoke with him a couple of days ago to ask him how things were going over in Rome, and he said he's in the midst of finals week. Over in Rome, they start their semester in October, and they end in January, or like February now, and then they go from February to June for the spring, so it's a little different than ours. And he said he's doing pretty well. He also said to say hello, and that he's getting mostly A's, which for being in Italy and for being in a global pandemic, mostly A's is great, right? In seminary, there was always a joke that, you know, what do they call the priest that got straight C's? Father, right? Yeah, it's a joke. You know, Tyler, if you're watching on the live stream, get A's, all right? That's not an excuse, all right. So mostly my job is to walk with our seminarians. Right now we have 10 seminarians. We had 11. One just came home yesterday from seminary. He decided that God was not calling him. He had been in seminary for 2.5 years and then realized that this was not for him, so great, he left. That's fine. In fact, he'll probably be a better husband and father and for sure a better Catholic man for having given the Lord 2.5 years of his life to find out what God was calling him to do. Besides our seminarians, which are good for me to walk with, the second thing that I work on is our house of discernment. Has anyone heard of the house of discernment in our diocese yet? A few, okay, all right. So 3.5 years ago when Bishop Siegel came to our diocese, one of the first new things he created was a place for men who were trying to figure out what God was calling them to. And so we renovated a house on the west side of Evansville by Pierre Funeral Home. It's Sacred Heart Church. It's the former Sacred Heart Church. It's now been merged into St. Boniface. And so we renovated that rectory. It's huge. It's like 9,000 square feet, 5 bathrooms and 8 bedrooms and a bunch of space, right? And so we renovated that for college guys to be able to, college or young adult men, to be able to figure out, is God calling me to be a priest? The purpose of this whole thing is that for me, like I was working full-time before I went to seminary. I was with the FFA, the Future Farmers of America. Have you heard of the FFA? It's got to be big around here, right? Yeah. So I was big into that. So I was working for them for 2.5 years, traveling the country, doing speaking engagements and raising money and doing agricultural partnership development and trying to push for ag education and legislatures. Anyways, I was doing all that stuff. I'm from Hobstadt, farming community, right? And when I was doing all that, I thought that maybe God is calling me to be a priest. But I wasn't sure. Well, the only way for me to figure that out was to leave my job and go to seminary, which was a good move for me, because here I am, right? But for many people, that's a very abrupt step, right? Like Father Paul, you know, he was in his mid-30s when he finally said, yes, I think God's calling me to seminary to go, and so he went. The House of Discernment would give a guy like kind of a stepping stone in between. So they can go to USI or to U of E or to be online with Ivy Tech or some other school or Vincennes, and they live at our house. Or they work full-time. Like one of our guys, Jose de Jesus, or we call him Chewy, he lives at our house and he works full-time. And the guys who are there, they get to pick their major or pick their job and do whatever they want, but they come back to our house for prayer and formation. They just can't date while they're in the house for that year, August to May. 1 year. Give up dating for 1 year and figure out what you're called to do. And the guys are coming. In the last 3.5 years, I think we've had 14 different guys live in our house, which is great. About half of them have either gone to seminary or religious life. The other half of them figured out it wasn't for them, and that's fine. It's good, too. Girls out there, if you're looking for a good guy to date, find one of those guys who used to live in the house. They're good. That's the best material, right? Anyways, so the house of discernment gives guys a chance to figure it out. So if you know a young man who's that age, 18 to 30 or so, graduated high school, trying to figure out what God is calling them to, they can go to USI or somewhere else, get their education going, or just work down the Evansville area and do our programming at the House of Discernment. It's a very happy place, and the guys love it. In fact, before I left this weekend to come up here, I texted all the guys who live there and the guys who used to live there and said, hey, Father's gone for the weekend. Don't burn the house down, right? And they're all like, we're coming over for a party. Did you leave beer in the fridge? You know, anyways, they're good. They're good young men. That's how it is. So it's a happy place. Well, the third program that we offer, actually, side note, for women, we also have a small program for girls who are in high school or college that are considering religious life or consecrated vocations. And so if you're interested in that, you can ask me about it after Mass, too. That's called Totus Tuus. It might be called, we might change the name to Fiat here soon, but anyways. So if you know a young woman, we've got that going, too. But I'm focusing on the young men right now because we need more priests. The final program we offer in our diocese is called Savio. And this was started just after the House of Discernment opened. It's a brand new thing for our diocese, for anywhere. Other dioceses are now calling me and trying to figure out how to start it in their places. It's named after St. Dominic Savio, who was a 14-year-old saint from Italy about 150 years ago. He heard a call to priesthood when he was a little guy and went to try to go to school to start learning virtue and to kind of grow in the faith. And he died before he could ever go to seminary as a teenager. So he's the patron for our teenage guys in our program. This started off with me saying, to get guys to be interested in listening to God's call, you can't just go to a university to a 19-year-old and say, you want to be a priest? I mean, you can, right? And just hope that God has already gotten him started before that. But we've got to get the seeds planted when they're young. And I thought, well, what if we just had guys, young guys, come around, not push priesthood on them, but just let them see that a house of discernment exists. Let them realize that God does have a plan for their life. And so 3.5 years ago, I called back to all the parishes I had been at as a priest, and I said to these young men that I had known, I said, would you guys want to come over for, like, you know, sports and games and pizza and a little bit of faith formation and prayer? And 12 or 14 of them said yes. So they came. And I was thrilled. I was like, teenagers want to do extra stuff for faith? Like, 14 is amazing, right? Since then, our last gathering for Savio, we've been doing about once a month, we had 57 teenage boys show up the last one. And in the last 3.5 years, 190 different teenagers have come to at least one Savio gathering. 190 from 26 parishes in our diocese. Now, this is not like you have to do it to get confirmed, right? It's not mandatory Sunday school. This is just an extra faith thing if you want to do it. And the guys are coming in droves. In fact, whenever I cancel because of snow or whatever else, when I cancel, their parents are texting me going, my son is really mad at you right now, Father. He was really looking forward to that, you know? They love it. It's great. In fact, this past fall, some of them came to me and said, some of them teenagers, high schoolers, said, we feel like God may be calling us to be a priest. Like, could we have a retreat or something just for us who are really serious about priesthood? And I said, no. Yes, yes, right? Like, absolutely we can. And so we renovated our attic at our house, and it has 7 beds in it, and a bathroom, and sitting areas. And so we make that like a retreat space. And so I invited 9 of them over, and all 9 said yes. Only the guys who are most serious. We had a discernment weekend together. After the weekend is over with, some of them said, yeah, I want to go visit the seminary now. One of them even dumped his girlfriend. That's awesome. Good job, man, wherever you are out there. You don't need a date in high school anyway. You know, come on. I did. I shouldn't have said, you know, I'm a bad example, but... Anyway, so after that weekend, they were on fire. And 6 more teenagers, high schoolers, heard about it, and they didn't get invited, and they said, can we go too? So next weekend, we're having a second one, and there's 9 more boys coming to that one, different ones. Folks, it's working. There's young men out there. But even though we offer those programs, it's still not enough. So here's the second part of the homily, the numbers. In our diocese, we have 10 seminarians currently. We had 11 this past fall. Last year, we had 12. The year before that, we had 11. Anyway, so we kind of hover around 11 usually is kind of our average. And our parishes, we have 45 parishes. We currently have 38 active diocesan priests. 38 priests, for 45 parishes. How many does Our Lady of Hope get? Two. You get two full-time priests here right now. Why? Maybe it's because you have the best choir in the world. Good job this morning. Maybe it's because your church is beautiful. It is. Actually, I was telling Father Paul that this morning. It's a beautiful church. I like being in here. Maybe it's because Washington has produced more vocations than any other parish in our diocese since the year 2000. Right now? Yeah. Yes. That's you. Since the year 2000, I'm kind of a nerd with numbers, so I ran all the numbers. 15 of our parishes have had zero seminarians. None. And some of them have like 700 families in those parishes. No seminarians since the year 2000. Zero. One time, a former vocation director said, if we can't produce a seminarian, we don't deserve a priest. So a third of our parishes, 15 out of 45, have had no seminarians in 22 years. A third of our parishes, I think it's 14 in this section, 14 of them have had one seminarian. So two-thirds of our parishes have only had 15 seminarians in the last 22 years. And one-third of our parishes have had two or more. And these are parishes like Vincennes, St. Francis Xavier Parish, they've had four. St. Peter and Paul Parish, three. Newburgh, three or four. St. Wendell, a bunch of parishes, right? Celestine, a lot of vocations out of those places. But only two parishes have had five. Holy Cross in Fort Branch and Our Lady of Hope in Washington. Two parishes. You guys are tied as the winners. This is a vocations parish. Almost every year, there's at least one guy on the poster, the seminarian poster in the back, from here. And you should be proud of that. You should be really proud of that. You know, people always ask me, like, but why is it that one parish has like five seminarians in 20 years and one parish has zero? Is it the priest? Like, is he the one that changes it? Maybe, right? Father Paul's a really good priest. Now, he was actually my associate pastor when I was younger down in Hofstadt. We loved him down there. He got taken away from us and moved to Holy Redeemer, and then he got taken and moved up here again. And so you guys got to hold on to him for dear life, all right? He's a good priest. And you also had other good priests. Father Gordon Mann, what a great priest he was. God bless, God rest his soul. Father Dave Martin before him, or you go way back. You may remember Father Phil Kreilein from a long time ago here. Somebody up in the choir does. He was a mentor of mine. He's passed away too. This was his first assignment. It was up here in Washington. I think it was at St. Simon's, I think, right? Anyways, he loves it up here. He told me about how when he first got here, there were so many priests and so few masses that he didn't even get to have a mass in the morning. He had become the bus driver for the school. Like, that's what he did. We had so many priests back then. He was a bus driver. I would love to be a bus driver for a while. That'd be great. It'd be so much less stress. Actually, maybe not. Maybe not. Anyways, he also talked about how at night he'd find parishioners in the area and go have a beer with them. And he'd just drink beer at night and drive the bus in the morning. Maybe not a good combination, but anyways, he's gone now, so no, I'm done. This parish has been blessed with priests, good priests. Is it because of them that we have seminarians from here? Priests come and go. You could have the best priest in the world and have no vocations. You could have the worst priest in the world and have 10. I think the silver bullet to vocations is you. It's families. It's people who are so devoted to their faith that external things don't matter. It's people who at home say, have you ever thought about what God is calling you to their children or their grandchildren? And you do that here. It's clear. It's evident. The fruit is being born. Anyways, so we're doing okay in our diocese. Here's a couple other numbers, just if you're a numbers person. Right now, we have one seminarian for every 6,500 Catholics. For every 6,500 Catholics, one seminarian. And the odds for a guy going all the way through from seminarian to priest are 50%. So basically, if we got 10 guys in the seminary right now, we've got one future priest for every 13,000 Catholics. How many parishioners are here? Not 13,000, right? Not even close. So we've got to get on it, right? In fact, I think the number we need to get to is like, if we can get there, is like 18. We get to 18 seminarians, we get to 12 seminarians, that's great, right? But 18 is kind of like a goal for us. We get to 18, all of our parishes get the pastors and the associate pastors that they need. And from our own people, which would be a beautiful thing, as good as our external help is, and it really is. A couple other things real fast with numbers, because I just think it's interesting. Last year, a priest of another diocese asked me, he said, how many guys do you have in your house of discernment this year? Because they have one, too, in their diocese, house of discernment. So we've got four at the time. We've got four guys. And he goes, oh, well, that's good. And I was like, I mean, that's good. That's great. That's great, you know? And I said, how many do you have in your house? And he said, oh, we've got eight. That's a nice flex, buddy, right? Even priests do this, you know? And then he goes, well, how many guys do you have in the seminary right now? And I said, 11, however many it was back then. And he said, oh, well, that's pretty good, too. And I was like, all right, how many you got, man? 43. 43 seminarians in their diocese. And twice as many in their house with a sermon. And I thought, dang, like, I feel like I'm not doing my work, you know? And then I said, well, hang on a second. How many Catholics do you have in your diocese? You know how many they have? 690,000. 750,000 Catholics. You know how many we have in our diocese? 72,000. So they have 700,000. We have 70,000. That's 10 times, right? So for the engineers out there who already work in the numbers, if we have 10 seminarians now and we have 1/10 of the number of Catholics, how many seminarians should they have? 100. Right? If we've got 10, they should have 100 seminarians. If we got four guys in our house at the sermon, how many should they have? 40, 10 times, right? When I told him that, he's like, well, that doesn't sound very good. And I said, exactly. Get on, right? Go to confession, you know? And so then I got really curious, and I thought, well, that's a better way to look at it, right? You know, you can't say, like, well, how much does Walmart sell versus the mom-and-pop shop? Like, that's different things, you know? And so I said, let's go around and look. So Indiana, Illinois, and Wisconsin, all three of us are in a three-state region, according to the Vatican. So like when the bishops go to visit the Pope at the Ad Limina, visit every 5 or 7 years, they all go together. So 15 dioceses. I said, in our region, how do we rank? So I found the number of seminarians, number of priests, number of parishes, number of Catholics, and number of retired priests for all of these dioceses. And I compared all the numbers. I told you I was a nerd. Compared all these numbers all the way down. And we ranked top three in every ratio. And if you add all those up and divide them by an algorithm I made, we're number one. We're doing better than any other diocese right now for our size in vocations work. And it's still not enough guys. Big dioceses like Chicago or other places, they're hurting, and they're going to be really hurting. They've got one seminarian for every 40,000 Catholics. Like, their parishes are going to close, like more than half of them will in the coming few years. So as good as it is, it's not where it could be. So what can we do about it? Last part of the homily. Well, in the gospel reading, did not plan this. It just happened to be for this Sunday. Jesus goes along the shore and he calls his disciples. And there's three lessons I want us to take away from this, of things that we could do to increase vocations. Look, listen, and act. So look. Jesus is walking along the shore and he sees a guy and his team who run a fishing company. They're done, right? The night is over. The sun is high in the sky and the fish don't bite. You all know that. And so as he's walking along the shore, he walks up, he walks into, it says, getting into one of their boats. Then he says, put me out in the water. He doesn't wait. He jumps in the boat and says, let's go. And Simon, who runs this fishing company, says, all right, takes him out into the middle of the water. And Jesus says, lower your nets here, in this spot. And Peter, for Simon Peter, for some reason, says, okay. I mean, think about this, right? So I came from a dairy farm. If some city slicker or some math teacher came to my dad and said, hey, this is how you should milk your cows, my dad would say, well, kindly, he'd say, leave, right? He might say a few other choice words, actually. He'd say, get out of here, right? I'm not listening to you. You don't know anything about dairy farming. Jesus tells Peter, this is how you fish, and Peter listens. And when he does, he pulls up the most fish they've ever caught. So many, their boats are too small to handle the catch. You know, I was reading an author about this. He said, he wonders if Jesus just didn't see what Peter couldn't see. It wasn't like maybe Jesus jumped a net into empty water and then zapped it with fish. Maybe Jesus, because he has the eyes of God, could see more clearly than Peter could. And therefore he said, trust my vision. Look here. You know, there are so many young men and women in this parish that have a call to priesthood or religious life. Ask God to tell you who they are. Ask God to give you the eyes to see them. He will, every time. The second lesson is to listen. We've got to pray. How many of you guys actually pray for vocations currently? Anybody like actively pray for vocations? Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Our guys need it in the seminary, and we need it as a diocese. Prayers work, and God answers them. We've got to keep doing that. And that's how we listen. That's how our young people will listen. is if we're helping them have the ears for it by our sacrifices of prayer. And the final one is to act. If you see somebody that you think might have a call, tell them. When I was going through my whole vocation discernment phase, and I was dating, I was working, right? I was trying to figure out what God was calling me to. And every time someone came up to me and tapped me on the shoulder and said, have you ever thought about priesthood? Or if they would say, are you sure this is what God's calling you to do this? Or you ever thought about what God might have in store for you? Whenever they said that, every time priesthood came to mind, every time. And I hated it, which is exactly what I needed to hear, you know? Because it's as unclear or as scary as it was to me, when the church, the voice of Christ, spoke to me through you, I could finally go. And don't get mistaken here. Like, don't look for just the young men who are like backwards and shy. Like, oh, he'll never date, so he could be a priest. Let's go encourage that kid, right? He'd be encouraging people like me, you know? God is calling everyone. Just a few weeks ago, there was a K-State football player, starting football player for their team. He announced that after his senior year this year at Kansas State University, he's going to seminary next year. I sent him a message on Instagram because I found him on there and just said, like, hey, I'm praying for you. And he replied back, thank you so much, right? Like, God's not just calling, he's calling everybody, right? The 30-year-olds who have jobs, the 19-year-olds who can't figure life out, people who are dating, people who are never dated, extroverts and introverts. He's calling farmers and blue-collar workers and people who want to go to Ivy League schools. The Lord is calling everyone. That net is big and it's going to be full. But we've got to help God's voice be heard. So if you know someone, say something to them. In 2 years, Tyler Underhill will no longer be on that poster. In Washington, you guys always have a seminarian. Who's next? Who's next? You know, I don't. I'm not from here. I'm just coming here to give you a pep talk, right? Find that kid or those kids and tell them that you can see it in them. It makes a huge difference. Okay, this morning before our first Mass, Deacon's wife, she came up to me in the sacristy and goes, what are you doing here this weekend, Father? Are you here to recruit? And I said, you guys know her, right? Mrs. Hildebrand, she's great. She also is not shy, right? She'll say what she wants to say. Yes, Deacon goes, yes. So she's here to recruit? And I said, yeah, I guess I'm here to recruit. Like, if you know somebody, tell me, right? Or if you're thinking about it, come talk to me. I'll be out at church after Mass. Got little business cards and other things in the back you can pick up off the table. No pressure, right? Yeah, I'm here to recruit. I said, but I'm not just here to recruit. I'm here to say thank you. Our diocese can only exist if we keep producing priests. Yes, we need every other ministry. We need catechesis and we need pro-life stuff. We need everything, right? But if we don't have priests, we don't have pastors, we don't have pastors, we don't have parishes. We don't have parishes, we don't have the sacraments. No weddings and baptisms and Mass, right? And of all the parishes in our diocese, you guys take the cake. You're the ones who are supplying our priests. You're the ones who are telling our young men to think about it. And they're listening to you. So I'm here to tell you, keep going. You're doing it right. Guys are listening. And maybe the reason that you guys have two priests and most parishes are lucky to get a half of a priest, because right now, the bishop and all of us know what's possible here. The faith is rich. Washington is Catholic. Washington is a vocations parish. And from on behalf of the bishop, and on behalf of everybody in our diocese, thank you for what you do for our young men. Hopefully, we'll see Tyler here in a year or two, laying down on the ground as he's ordained a priest of our diocese, and he has his first Mass right here at this altar. And hopefully, by then, another young man or two will be taking his place as well. Thank you for letting me be here this weekend.